Hey everybody, happy Friday out there. Thanks for tuning in to Express Yourself here on KD&K. We're here each and every Friday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Your community access radio here at KD&K, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and here on the show today, we bring all things culture and creativity in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We've got an interview that Amy Kimberly had with the band Magoo, who are playing at Takah tomorrow night, Saturday night, so stay tuned for that in a little bit. Towards the end of the show, we'll talk with about a group exhibition curated by Brad Reed Nelson called Use My Imagination, up now at the Anderson Ranch Art Center Gallery through most of March. But first, a few special guests here in the KD&K studio to talk about a new two-person show by the artist duo, also known as AKA Lindsay Jones and Michael Stout, opening tomorrow evening at the Art Base in Basalt. And that's all coming up here on Express Yourself today, so don't touch that dial! Y'all do it! Yeah! Express yourself! Express yourself! Say hi to the special guests here, Katie and Kay. How's it going, everybody?
Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Ooh, yeah, hey, Brian. Level, check levels. Oh, yeah, that's great. Let's just go around for a second. We got Mike De La Rosa in the house, gallery manager at the Art Base.
Yes, that is correct. Gallery manager, first time on Katie and Kay.
Is it? Excited. No. Mm-hmm. I thought I had you. I was going to ask you out in the lobby. You know?
Number one.
Congrats on making it to Katie and Kay. Lindsay Jones.
Not my first time on KD&K.
Not your first time, that's right.
yep, that's me.
And we got Michael Stout.
Great to be back, Brian.
Long time listener.
First time. Is that your low voice?
Radio voice, Michael Stout.
I've got a low voice too.
Well, thanks for coming in to talk about your show that opens tomorrow at the Art Base. I guess the show's technically kind of open today. I got to get a sneak preview this afternoon.
Whoa.
Yep. But tomorrow is the night, right?
Yes, tomorrow is the night. We did not want to compete with Carbondale Arts First Friday, which is a bonanza, and would be foolish to compete with.
And the opening ceremony of the Olympics, which I didn't realize. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we didn't plan it for the same
tonight.
Night. That's tonight right. Also, yeah.
I forgot about that too. So nice.
First Friday draws more people, though.
Yes, of course.
There's a lot of people out and about. Quick shout out to Creative District out there. If you're out and about tonight, you can stop by the three locations for the Love Note Station, Creation Station, and make a little love note to yourself, to the environment, to the world, to your family, to a secret crush. And then these will get posted in the little red phone booth on the corner of 4th and Main for all to enjoy. So come make a little love note. Come enjoy some music. Come enjoy the Valley Visual Art Show inside the Launchpad. And there's a plug.
There's also an open house at the new Forest Service building.
Oh, yeah. Until 6:30, I think.
Yeah. It's open. No. Yeah.
It's like
4:30 to 6:30.
Yeah. Good. Thanks, Lindsay.
That's where I'm headed next.
Well, let's, without further ado, let's start off. What's this also known as pseudonym you've come up with, Michael and Lindsay?
Well, Michael and I, you know, we decided to collaborate on this show, and I guess it was a way of not just plastering our own names out there, because we wanted to work collaboratively and have, you know, a slightly different aesthetic, because our aesthetics were being combined and our concepts were being combined. I see you turning my levels down.
It's my headphones. My headphones are too loud. You're good.
But yeah, we just wanted to present ourselves as more of a collaborative duo, also in case we want to do this stuff in the future, because it'd be really fun to have more projects. And now we've established a name for ourselves.
Also known as. AKA.
Just another chance to play with creativity and language and words and text. Uh-huh. So
yeah, there is a lot of that going on in this show. which we'll get into. But let's hear a little bit of your background as artists to get started.
You start.
What kind of?
Sure.
Where do you come from?
Where do I come from? Creatively, my background really is based in the kind of DIY cultures of skateboarding and graffiti. That's kind of where I cut my teeth. And so I carry that through to today. I also have a background in graphic design. Mm. So a lot of my kind of aesthetic is kind of circling those practices and cultures.
I can see those coming through in this show. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, and I have a fine art background. And then I work professionally as a graphic designer. So I was trained in fine art. And so I do both. And I don't have that same, you know, official or, you know, official training as a designer like Michael does. But, yeah, it brings a different approach. That's me.
Yeah.
Mixed media, yeah. Collage stuff, painting, printmaking, little installation-y type things every now and then. And, you know, Mike's an artist, too, right?
Yeah, you want to plug Mike here?
Yeah,
let's hear about
yourself a little intro,
Mike De La Rosa.
Too.
Where do you come from as an artist?
I am formally trained as well. I got my BFA at Hunter College and my MFA in Kent State, Ohio, which is a great free program if anyone is interested. You teach a lot, and just been painting for the last 10 years or so and living in a box.
The artist's life, I think, is that sometimes. Let's talk about the title for this show, too, Creative Destruction. I love the pairing of those. It's a good, pairing of people, pairing of words.
Yeah, I think when Lindsay and I were kicking around ideas for a proposal for the show, it was kind of in the midst of wildfire season, and so we were kind of taking note of some of the destruction that was happening, but also looking towards what comes after the fire, and that there's regrowth and new birth and a chance for new life. So we kind of like that idea of playing on that concept, and some of the work really revolves around wildfire. But we also took that concept and pushed it into different areas as well. Everything from personal life to social, political, economic, technological concepts. I think we were all...
I guess that was it. Sorry.
Yeah. We were all pushing on those, I think, just throughout making the work. So it comes through in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The work itself, I mean, there's so much going on. Mike, what was it like for you to pull together these two artists, the famous, also known as duo?
Well, it was exciting. I mean, they came in with a lot of work, and we started playing Rage Against the Machine, and I think setting like a vibe.
Is that true?
That was my request. Yes, I've been on a rage lately.
Excellent. I like that.
And I think it sets the tone of like, they're both incredibly accomplished graphic designers, and they have a really good balance. So the work itself has a flow and has a feeling to it, but also it's got this like spunk and energy that I think comes through in like the installation and all the different aspects that we tried to heighten throughout the exhibit.
Yeah, and Michael and I both agree that Mike did a really great job at like almost feeling, I know, this is
honorary
cheesy.
Member.
Seriously, you grabbed a hold of our work and just placed it like within an hour, which would have taken me 4 days. Brian knows this for a fact.
It's a hard thing to do.
And it really felt like you were a third collaborator. So it was like, it was a breath of fresh air for me because I explained it earlier. Sometimes it's like, I'm really good at picking out the furniture, but not so good at arranging it in my house. And so like he did the arrangement.
Mike's the interior designer.
Yeah.
Of the group.
That would be fun. I would also be love to be known as also to be known
as. Deal.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk about what you guys have been preparing. How long have you been working on this collaboration, and what kind of where'd you start, I guess, and what can people kind of prepare their eyeballs to see tomorrow night?
Well, I think the idea of us working together goes back a few years at least. We've kind of been working on projects together over the last 2-3 years, but we really started focusing on this concept about a year ago. And I think we were you know, having conversations, looking at each other's work, taking time to be in each other's studio spaces, and really just kind of ingesting kind of the thought process and the creative process. And then a lot of the work has really emerged in the last like four months.
Days of
months. Ish.
Nice.
Don't really tell. Come on.
I know how it is with these deadlines. Deadlines coming up.
I think one of the centerpieces of the show are the two canvases that we like kind of directly collaborated on. And those, you know, we've been working on over the last 3 weeks, I think. So they're two big 6-foot by 6-foot canvases. It's got a lot of Lindsay's imagery and a lot of my imagery kind of intertwined together.
You both do have similar styles. Sometimes it's hard to tell your work apart in some ways, in some ways not, because there's a lot of different styles going on. Michael has a good like graffiti text in some of these, like, I don't know what to call them, kind of mandala pieces almost. They go in a circle and you have to decipher what's going on. Lindsay's got a lot of, I mean, you both have collage work, but there's like some halftone things creeping in.
I tend to have more of, in the show, more of the floral elements.
Floral, yeah.
If you see something floral, it's probably me, because you don't have anything floral, right?
No.
Yeah.
So you also have some three-dimensional works.
Yeah. My rocks.
The rocks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't you kick them.
No?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, they're going, okay, I shouldn't even
don't have kick
brought
the rocks,
this topic
probably.
Up. You're going to kick them on accident. Somebody's going to kick them on accident, but don't try.
You kick it, you bought
it. Don't try to kick them. Yeah.
Rocks are actually the common theme between Lindsay and I think.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. She has been working with that imagery and content for a
long
while.
Time.
And I've been kind of exploring it as well. And I think there was just this intersection of kind of what is the meaning? Why are we exploring these things together?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like creative destruction, there's also that kind of long-term geologic timescale that happens with metamorphic rocks that we picked up on in some of the work as well.
Yeah, you know, I started working with rocks, I think, when I was working on a film with Michelle Smith, who did the Frenchie film. And I was working on a film that involved a scree field, like a rocky scree field.
Right.
And so that's when the imagery started to come into my work. And then shortly after that was the rock fall after the Glenwood fires. And right. So I was, and then we always have rock fall, you know, off of Red Hill or up towards Redstone. And so I was thinking of that as a destructive force. So for me, in the show in particular, I think the rocks are a metaphor for the destruction.
Yeah. Back and forth, the yin and the yang of all the creative destructive.
And then
forces.
The flower is the creation.
Right.
Really.
Yeah, and Michael, you also have some interesting pieces using soil and ash.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, this is a screen printing, kind of alternative printing process that I've been experimenting with. I've seen some other folks use materials to print with, and when thinking about this show, I was thinking, how could I integrate this process into this work? And talking about Wildfire, I was thinking, can I take the kind of charcoal from these burn scars and mix that down to a powder and sieve it and print that through a screen. So I was able to kind of refine that technique a bit and do that. I've also kind of sourced some soil from Red Hill and used that. So there are some prints that have screen prints with the ash from the wildfire, and then there are some prints that have the soil, and there's some that have that together.
Yeah, just making art directly from these raw materials. Pretty cool. Mike De La Rosa, the Art Base has an open call for gallery proposals right now. Lindsay and Michael here proposed probably a little over a year ago or so, about a year ago. What kind of things are you looking for when you review those applications, and how do you like pick a show like this out of all the things you get? Applications to get.
That's such a great question, because we do have quite an incredible community of artists here, and I really want to invite everyone to participate, because there's so many different opportunities that the Art Base can provide artists, and I think what we're looking for is like what's resonant in the community and what's new to the community, you know. So there's actually no exact guideline. It's like if this is very local, you know, something about a deep show about Sopras, you know, and then we'll do something that's like, oh, we've never done something like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're very flexible and we want to see your art. So please, everyone, apply.
Cool. Well, hopefully those listening will want to come to this opening, see what you guys have made as the also known as duo, and get inspired to propose. When's the due date for you guys?
February 20th. Okay. 3 weeks.
That's coming up.
Yeah.
All right. Lindsay and Michael, do you have any future collab plans, or are you just trying to get through this opening and then you'll plan something?
I think we're just through this one, and
we don't hate each other.
We don't hate each other.
That's always a great sign, you know, with a collaboration. I get that. Okay, and Mike, also remind us when the opening is, Art Talk, how long is this show up for, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we are opening tomorrow. Well, the reception is tomorrow. We are open all day, 11 to 5, and then the reception will be from 5 to 7 with the Artist Talk at 5:30.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And the show runs through?
March 6th. No, wait.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, February 6th to March 6th. Nice. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can people learn more about you two and your art? They can go to the Art Base and see this show.
Yeah, I have a website, lindsayannajones.com, like Indiana Jones. I have an Instagram, but I'm so jaded with social media and the whole tech bro thing that I really am not posting much on there except to announce like a show. So go to my website, sign up for my newsletter that I haven't sent out for 3 years.
Free plug for that.
You can find me.
I won't spam you, obviously.
And you can find me walking the streets of Carbondale, or my nice. Website is departmentofeveryday.com.
Well, you guys, congrats on a cool show. I've got to see it, and there's a lot to take in. So hopefully, people will come take in the opening, but also come back because there's a lot of layers to unpack, I think. So, congrats, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Up next, I'm going to play some songs by Magoo. We're going to have an interview with them in a second here, but thought you'd get a little flavor for what they sound like. So here we go with some Magoo.
Hill from the band Magoo. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much. Happy to chat.
Well, you guys are on quite the trajectory. It looks like you're playing many major festivals, from Del Fest, Tico Time, of course, the favorite Palisade Bluegrass and Roots Festival, Electric Forest, High Sierra. Congratulations. We're really excited that you are going to be coming to Taka on February 7th. And my first question really is, you're based in Denver. Did you grow up in Colorado?
No, actually, none of us grew up in Colorado. So half of us are in Denver, Dylan Flynn on Dobro and myself. Mm-hmm. And then Cortland Bills, our mandolin player, he's in Rollinsville out by Ned.
Oh, of course.
And then Yep, and then Denton Turner on bass is in Steamboat, actually. So we're kind of all over Colorado, but we do say we're based out of Denver just because that's where we started.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, none of us are from there. I'm from upstate New York. Dylan's from Massachusetts. Cortland's from Texas. Denton's from North Carolina. So again, kind of all over the map.
Right. So what was your gateway into the bluegrass genre of music?
For me personally, I had been exposed to some bluegrass songs through Phish, the Grateful Dead, mm-hmm. like jam bands that kind of touched on the genre but didn't necessarily play it exclusively. And then when I moved to Colorado in 2017, not long after that, I saw my first live bluegrass show. It was the Jeff Austin Band.
Uh-huh.
His solo band After Yonder. And it blew me away. He had Kyle Tuttle on banjo. He had mm-hmm. a bunch of other all-star musicians in his band. And that was my gateway, and I was hooked ever since. And that's when I really started hunkering down and actually learning how to play like bluegrass guitar and flat picking and, you know, studying Tony Rice and Norman Blake and all those guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then being in Colorado, you really have access to a lot of festivals where you can delve deep. You guys got second in the Telluride Bluegrass Band competition?
Yep, that's right.
Who won? Who won against you?
That was the Stillhouse String Band, I believe, out of Palisade.
Yep. You'll be sharing the stage with them this year at the festival. That's great. Wow.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah.
So, how did you all get together?
So, the start of Magoo, we were just a trio. It was me, Dylan, and Dylan's uncle, Paul, was the original bass player. They moved to Denver from the Boston, Massachusetts area, or they actually might have been living on Nantucket at the time. They kind of posted on the internet, on Reddit, of all places, that they were looking to meet up with bluegrass musicians and start jamming and, you know, find people to play with. And a buddy of mine, Tyler, who I've played with for years, he's a Reddit guy. I don't really use Reddit too much on the internet, but he found their post and he's like, come on, Eric, we should meet with them. And I was like, no way. I don't like meeting with people from the internet.
mm-hmm.
But we did meet eventually, and it was amazing. They're fantastic musicians, but more importantly, they're even better humans, great people to hang out with, and really good friends. And so me, Dylan, and Paul started the band. And then we actually met Cortland, our mandolin player, at Telluride Bluegrass Festival. We were there just enjoying the festival, picking in the campgrounds, and Cortland was camped nearby, and we were picking with him at our campsite every night till the sun came up, basically.
Wow.
And at the time, he was living in Austin, so he was basically like, if you guys want me to join the band as your fourth, I'll move right now. You just say the word. And ultimately, we did have him come out and play some shows, and he did move. And he's been here ever since.
Good move.
And then, big move. We're glad he did it. Paul, the original bass player, he ultimately wanted to retire full-time, so him leaving the band was nothing but a positive thing. You know, he got to go travel the world. He's currently in East Asia right now, living his best life. And so we needed a new bass player to fill those shoes. And Denton, he's played in a number of different bands in Colorado, Buffalo Commons and mm-hmm. Hunker Down and all kinds of bands. He was kind of a free agent at the time, so a mutual friend of ours linked us up, and we actually played a Halloween party for our very first gig with him, and it was so much fun. We just kept getting together and practicing and learning songs together, and eventually we made it official because it was such a great fit, and he's such a great guy and so well connected in the scene. He's got just so many friends and knows so many people around here.
Nice. Well, let's talk about the songwriting. You have very, very strong songs. How does it work for you guys?
Yeah. Thank you for that. So Cortland, Dylan, and myself are primarily the songwriters. we all kind of write in our own style. We all bring something different to the table, which is really cool, just based on our different backgrounds and musical preferences and whatnot. We all kind of write by ourselves, and then we'll bring a song to the table, and sometimes we need help with the arrangement or, you know, adding certain elements that maybe we didn't have in mind to begin with. We kind of come up with those as a team, the four of us. You know, Denton's got great ideas too. Even if he didn't write the song, he's still helping arrange it. So really the songwriting kind of takes place on an individual level most of the time. We're starting to write together as a unit, but we haven't done too much of that. So really for now it's kind of just taking place on the individual level, and then we'll like arrange the song together as a group and work on harmonies and, you know, make sure everyone's got their part and then get it dialed in that way.
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of amazing musicians out there, and you guys are no exception. But, it, you know, being able to craft a song that really sticks in people's minds and heads and that they can relate to is not so easy. And I today was driving back from Palisade and playing your music and just listening and, of course, wondering, who is the angel from Telluride?
That is a great question. that is a past girlfriend of one of the guys in the band. And, you know, maybe we won't name names just because that relationship no longer relevant. But, yeah, she was the angel. And who knows, maybe everyone's got their angel, not necessarily in Telluride, so it could be, for the listener, whoever is your angel, it could be
that's
your
right.
angel as well, you know?
And that feeling at a festival when you're just out there dancing and you see someone that you're really attracted to and it feels so good and so right. That's kind of what that song also captures, and I really like that.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the Hippie Speedball song. I'm right there with Coffee and Weed. Is that the song?
Yeah. Yep, Hippie Speedball.
That's what we call it in my day. I'm a little older than you. So you have one album out, What a Life. You guys are pretty busy, but are you recording? Did you record? What's happening?
So What a Life is our first full-length debut album, and it actually hasn't come out just yet.
Oh.
It comes out on February 27th, which is the first day of Winter Wondergrass, which we're playing. We're really excited for that.
Oh, I know. You guys are doing all the Wondergrasses. You get to go to Mexico, and you're doing the river one. Scotty must be a big fan.
Oh, yeah. Scotty's amazing. He has such a great vision. He's amazing to work with. The festivals that he puts on are just like the community that comes together and that he kind of crafts. It's just a really great experience. We've had nothing but great experiences at those festivals. And yeah, thankfully he's become a fan, and we're very grateful for that, to be a part of those festivals.
That's nice. So, okay. So What a Life isn't even out yet, but you do have lots of music on music streaming platforms. So, you know, it's interesting. What is the difference between, I guess, creating an album or having music out? Like, what is the music that's out on Spotify, where, or a streaming platform? Where does that come from?
So we've got two EPs out on streaming platforms, and most of those are original songs.
Mm-hmm.
The first EP was from back when the band was a trio, so that was just me, Dylan, and Paul.
Uh-huh.
So the EP Volume 1 is just a trio, and then EP Volume 2 is when we added Cortland to the band.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's got the four of us with mandolin. And yeah, there's some good instrumentals and original tunes and covers. And we still play those songs live. We still love them.
Fabulous. So let's talk covers. How do you guys pick your covers? Did I see a video where you do a cover of I Want to Dance with Somebody?
Yeah, we did that on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so how does it come up? Like, are you just listening to a song and go, oh, wouldn't this be fun? Or how does that work?
Yeah, sometimes it happens, like, literally right before a show, which is maybe not always the best thing. You know, it doesn't give us a ton of time to rehearse, but as long as the song is pretty simple, we can usually get it down. But I Want to Dance with Somebody, that was Cortland's idea. And that was, it wasn't right before the gig, but it was like days leading up to the gig. He's like, what if we did this right after the ball drops, or, you know, the metaphorical ball drops, and the new year strikes midnight. And then when we go into I Want to Dance with Somebody, he's like, that'd be so fun. And we're all like, yeah, let's do that. That's awesome. So we all learned it on our own time and then got together before that New Year's gig and practiced it. And we were able to pull it off.
Looked like the audience loved it.
Yeah, definitely a crowd favorite.
So right now you're on tour picking. I mean, we haven't had much snow, so I guess it's a good time to drive through the mountains, though hopefully we will get some moisture. And you are performing at Takah. And what can the audience expect?
Yeah, every show is a little bit different. You know, we usually come up with set lists right before the show. We love to try and not repeat songs like two shows, three shows in a row. That way people are always getting something fresh. We want to make sure we got a good mix of original music and covers, whether that's like traditional bluegrass covers or even like, you know, we cover a couple Nirvana songs. We cover the Foo Fighters. Cortland does amazing renditions of that sort of like 90s rock or alt rock style. He's got a great voice for it. So, you know, we'll throw some of those in, like old hits that aren't necessarily in the bluegrass realm, but we'll make them sort of bluegrass style. And then we like to jam too. We've got that sort of jam grass vibe, that like Yonder Mountain String Band and Green Sky and Leftover Salmon and Billy Strings, all those bands do very well. We love that style, so we'll have some improvisation as well in our shows.
Fabulous. And where can folks find out more about you?
So we're on all the social media platforms. Instagram is Magoo the Band, Facebook, Magoo the Band. I think we're even on TikTok. I'm not personally on TikTok, but I think we are. I think we're on there. MagooTheBand.com, that's our website where you can find all of our tour dates. You know, you could pre-order the album that's coming out on vinyl, which is really cool. And we also have our merch store, all kinds of hats and shirts and hoodies and whatnot. So, yeah, that would really be the best place, MagooTheBand.com, our website, just for anything Magoo.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time out to speak to Katie and Kay here. We play your music. We love what you're doing. Just keep it up, and we'll see you at the show.
Awesome. Yeah, we're very excited for Takah, and Palisade will see you there. Excited to meet you in person.
All right. Thanks so much, Eric.
Okay. Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
Hitched a ride heading west of town. Hopped in the first car that pulled off. Driver looked at me and gave a nod. And floored it down the open road. Across the great divide, crowd so low and rolling by. Heading down into the nearest town. Think I'll try my luck and stick around. This road's been good to me. I know that I'm a lucky one. If I hit stormy seas, I know I'll see the morning sun. This road's been good to me. I know that I'm a lucky one.
Rocky Mountain bound. I can feel the air grow cold and thin. Locomotive roll day and night. Take me back to that place I call home. This road's been good to me. Hitch a ride and head westbound.
Hope you enjoyed that extended cut of Magoo's music coming to Takah tomorrow night, Saturday night. Takah.org for tickets. Up now here at KDNK Express Yourself, we have some special guests in the studio, and hopefully we'll have another one joining via phone in a little bit. But let's say hi to everybody. Oh, the phone's ringing, and I don't know how to do that, but I'm going to... What do they do for that?
You answer?
Answering.
Usually.
You turn first phone fader on.
First you do a thing. Well, what if it's not somebody you just like, you know?
No, it was. Ah, darn it, he's gone.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, maybe it's good. On. Wait, do I need...
This
I
is a very...
You know it's live radio when this is happening.
Technical situation.
Sam, you guys, if you're listening, we'll call you.
We'll call you, Sam.
Don't call Don't us. Call we'll us. Call you.
Oh, he's calling again.
Our people are going to call your people. Brian?
Brian, what are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. There's instructions right here to tell me what to do. I do phone fader on, which I have on. Mm-hmm. They're calling.
Here at KDNK, we maintain a level of professionalism yet determined.
Is this hybrid one? Hybrid? Is that the one? And then I turn phone fader up. Sam, are you there?
So this is a teaching course?
Yes,
for
Brian, I'm here.
Sam Harvey's in the house. Let me hear you say, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Sam.
Are we all here?
We're live on the radio.
Jordan is not. He had a little truck kerfuffle.
Kerfluffle.
Well, I'm in the car with my buddy Mike and his son Henry.
You're not driving, right?
No, I'm not driving. Mike's driving.
Excellent.
Well, cool. Thanks for making that happen, Sam. Good to have you here on KDNK.
Thank you for the invite, and thank you for the KDNK extremely fabulous audience.
Why are we here?
You know it. We're here to talk about an excellent group exhibition I got to see today.
Oh,
at
yeah.
Anderson Ranch. It's been open for a couple weeks.
January 7th.
Yeah. Oh, it's been open for a month. Goodness me.
But the opening was the 22nd, and you were at a cold.
That's what happened, the 22nd. That's what I'm remembering.
And there were so many people, you couldn't see the art anyway, so.
It was probably better that you went
better
today.
Great cocktail party, though.
It was very, very well attended.
I saw the pictures.
All the who's were there.
Yeah. The old guard, the young guard, they were all there.
This is a show called Use My Imagination, curated by the one, the only, Brad Reed Nelson.
Woo! Woo! I know him.
How did this show come together, Brad? You're curating and you're inviting artists, and they're responding to your imagination.
I imagine basically. Anderson Ranch suddenly realized they looked up and went, what the hell are we doing for January, February, and March? Because they asked us in
That's not
October.
True.
So, yeah.
It kind of seems a little true.
It seems fairly true if you're listening, AR, sorry. And then I said, wow, you don't usually get a 3-month span of viewing pleasure. So I was like, yes, let's do that. And they're like, what's your interpretation? And I said, I want to do these collaborations. And then I said, I want to call the show Friends with Benefits. And they said, I don't know. And I said, huh.
Too risque. Okay.
That's too bad.
I know. And so I said, well, you'll use my imagination. So, but fortunately, I asked four people I really admire in their work and their work ethic.
Aww.
And they all said yes. I did have to hurt Sam's hand twisting it a little bit, but everyone said yes. And then, and so, yeah, it's a really neat show, and I feel very honored. And, you know, I came to this valley to come to Anderson Ranch as a student and then to come and work for it. So,
yeah, you've got a history with that spot.
Yeah, that's what they'd say about it, too. I definitely have a history.
A shady history.
I spoke a lot of words. Let's have other people speak words.
Yeah, let's hear. Well, who's in this show? You got four other artists. Sam Harvey, you're here on the phone. Tell us about your brief background and how did you respond to Brad's work there in the show?
Well, it's a little bit odd in that I had a change of pace. Once I saw the pieces, I had to kind of like shift gears.
Mm-hmm.
Because images, as we know, are not like actual objects. So it was a response to Brad, the angularity and color palette of Brad's work.
Yeah, and you have a lot of different color palettes going on with your work as well.
Yeah, but for our collab piece, I pared it down.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
Which was fun. Awesome. But the green works. I like the green. That lime green color.
Sam, you had talked about
red metal.
Sam, you had talked about at the opening that you were going to swap out your piece because you couldn't decide which one you liked best. Have you done that?
Oh,
right, not yet. It's still sitting right next to the kiln, ready to go in.
Well, get on it. I want to see the other iteration.
Fire it up.
It's coming. All good things and all good time, people.
I'm going to say something. We haven't discussed this, but we are having a closing party. We haven't told the ranch yet, but we're definitely having a closing reception.
We're just doing it.
Well, we're doing it, yeah.
And it's called Friends with Benefits.
Yes, and it's like a designated driver would be a friend with benefit, for instance. You just have to think out of that original box of the term. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think we should have a closing party. And so I'm throwing it out there, and
stay tuned.
I will work on that sometime in late March.
Late March, excellent.
Well, my favorite piece in the show, of course, is the giant ottoman. That piece just kills. It's so good.
Thanks,
Sam. Segue.
On so many levels.
Excellent. I'm blushing so hard right now.
Yeah.
Good segue to Claire Wright. Hi, Claire.
Hi, I'm Claire Wright.
Tell us about your ottoman and how the collaboration went with Brad Reed Nelson.
Yeah, so I have an upholstery shop, and I'm, you know, doing industrial arts. And I thus have tried to track down many furniture makers and sculptors in the valley to collaborate with. So I reached out to Brad probably a while back about just like inventing a cool line of furniture. And apparently that was a good move because then he reached out to me when there was like a real solid opportunity to collaborate. And so that's what we did. And it was really fun. And I just love doing stuff that is more creative and colorful because I do a lot of, you know, high end residential for other people. And so when I get to have an opportunity to be artistic, I jump all over it. So,
Claire, what's your company called?
It's called Cosecha Textiles. Cosecha.
Cosecha. And this piece in the show that you collaborated on is called Basket Case Ottoman. Love that title.
Yeah.
Well, the idea of those forms, I call them basket case.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
The other line I call getting loopy. So
yeah, I really loved how Brad approached me about the show anyway, just saying that he had created this form and he was working with different artists to make that form useful in different ways. And so Brad and Savannah created a beautiful planter box.
Mm-hmm.
Planter box?
Planner.
Planner.
Basket case planter.
Basket case planter. And then, you know, there's furniture and art on the walls. And we made an ottoman, which, because that's what I do. So that's really cool.
And Claire has a chair, also an individual piece of hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole set. You have to buy it all together. Yes. But not really, but you should.
Sisters but not twins.
Sisters but not twins. Yes.
I have the whole gallery guide here.
Yeah, there are two chairs.
Yeah, it's actually a stunning show. If you are ever up in Snowmass Village, be sure to stop by. It's just, I mean, Brad's work, you're just a master of what you do with, you're using all kinds of materials from wood and metal, but you also have plexiglass, probably other things I don't even know that happen. And then to bring in other artists that you admire and want to work with is really a good, you know, bridge to make those connections to other people and see what they would do with this form and how they would respond. Savannah, you want to talk about your artwork and how you came to be part of this show and what you've created?
So Brad and I spent a lot of time together as well with Brian as Aspen Art Museum fellows. So that involved a lot of studio visits. So I think Brad had a pretty good idea of what my work was about and how this collaboration could come to fruition. So he approached me with the same form, but a smaller scale of what he brought to Claire and was like, I think this would make a rad planter. Can you do the ceramic portion? And really, that was great. It was straightforward in terms of the form and making it work together, but I got to play on the surface. Which I do a lot of grid work in mine, and his forms were this open basket grid. So it's almost like cast shadows of his grid onto my ceramics as the glaze. So it's a wonderful, easy opportunity.
And when we were all doing the fellowship together, Claire spoke about the importance of shadow in her work.
Savannah did.
Oh, yeah,
but Claire. I also spoke about it to other people.
Sorry, Savannah. Another beer, please. I'd like one more cerveza. Sorry about that, Savannah.
It's okay.
Savannah and I, for instance. But Savannah spoke about the importance of shadow, and it was really... So when I saw that, it was the most easy transformation. Right?
And maybe easy is not the right word. I keep saying that, but it's more like it was just very intuitive. It was like, this is what it's got to be. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a starting place to where it's a jumping off point. Like we could do so many different iterations that push and pull. This was just like, we have to at least do this one first.
Oh, I feel that way too. Yeah. Let's make more furniture. Brad's going to be really busy.
When we showed Sam, when I showed Sam the basket just in prototype, Sam goes, I want to see a chair. And I have a chair idea. It will be really easy to upholster. like a Lee chair would be easy to upholster.
An iron back chair.
Yeah. Oh, real quickly, shout outs to my wife for being my wife and helping with all the color on the show, and that I love her. And I left my phone at home, so I'll see you in a little while. And Dana, I'm still meeting you at Pepino's at 5. Again, I left my phone at home.
Hey, we're all going to Pepino's at 5.
Yeah, we're getting a beer, and then we're walking across the street to sign letters against mass... mass housing density on the Roaring Fork.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's one other artist. Sam, if you want to say something.
Oh, okay. Sorry to step on anybody's toes, but the great thing about the form Brad come up with is that it's so malleable for other objects.
Yeah.
Sofas, chairs, tables, et cetera, et cetera. So the like this is in some ways like just the first shot over the bow, really.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. It's great for cleaning cabbages. That's what I've noticed. Because it's the openings are like 3.5 inches by 3.5 inches. So if you had a large amount of cabbages, it would be a great way to clean them.
Right.
What are you talking
I thought
about?
Of that too. I totally thought of cabbages.
They're all thinking about.
I hope Claire did. You're Claire, right?
I'm Claire.
That's Savannah.
I'm Claire, right, actually.
There is a.
Okay. Oh, one other person that's not here.
True.
So Jordan, who was the fourth collaboration, could not be here today. He had a mechanical knot in the valley where his truck broke down, so he couldn't get here. So to speak about Jordan real quickly so that we honor everybody, Jordan's a knife maker. He came to the valley looking for a studio, and my wife and I offered up a space we had, and it's just been a really nice fit. He's just an incredible craftsperson and designer, and he's also doesn't come in and talk to me. He just fucking, he just works. Sorry. Bleep. He just works, and I love that about him. But he is represented at Kemosabe, and they have like 6 locations, and he is crushing it in this world.
Wow.
And yeah, so please go look at his work at our show, and then also you can admire it at Kemosabe. And yes, I did cuss, and I apologize.
His story is really interesting. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, his story's great.
Yeah, he like participated on some
A TV reality show called TV Forged show. In the Fire.
Yeah.
And oh, he cool. won it. And
wow. when he won the it, show.
And the problem is he's a little too handsome and a little too charismatic. And so then Kemosabe saw him and they reached out and they're like, we want you to be our knife maker.
Wow.
And he was coming out here from Santa Cruz doing knife shows. And he's like, you know, I'm crushing it out here. I should just move out here.
Perfect.
And he's
storm.
Very happy. Mm-hmm. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
There Unless is. It's Tom.
There is one sculptural work I want you to talk about, and it's filled with inflatable clear balls.
That's the representation of cabbages.
That's the cabbage.
So that I did not know about. That.
So that basket, because it's.
Is that right?
I love forms that help define chaos, like mess. So if you were to walk in the door. Things that are, you know, you'd still see the object inside there, but it kind of then pulls it into a place.
Yeah.
So that is a, you know, there's the basket planter, and then there's the basket ottoman. Then the same form is at the end of the bench that Sam's then mm-hmm. got this incredible chartreuse sculpture coming out of.
Yeah.
And then the beautiful. Fourth one is just a basket by itself in a fun color palette that, you know, so you can clean your cabbages, but mostly you could walk in the door and drop things in it. And then there's one more that's a stone top table.
Right, so, marble.
And a lot of other really beautiful art that
there's
you worked hard on.
Other sick stuff in there, dog. Feel me?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Would you like to take a second to talk about your palette series?
So I've been working on this. I want to be a painter. It basically comes as I want to be a painter.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to control color in a way that maybe I only know to do through layering of materials. So I started playing with these ideas of identifiable objects that we treat as disposable, like palettes. Because palettes, to me, are something that the wood that you see is usually from the place that it's shipped from. So if that place has predominantly hardwood, it's oak, ships from there. If it's pine, you know, it's from the south or it's from the Midwest or something. And then I used to see teak palettes that were coming from South America. But the moment those things, the objects get removed from them, you see a stack of those and then they're disposable, even though wood is not really disposable and it's important. So I started thinking of that idea. So I wanted to kind of elevate that. And then I started thinking about the objects on the palette. And so I started layering these boxes and then putting the band straps like normally hold things on palettes. And it was a way to kind of create these layered color paintings and also think about, you know, resources and waste and disposability and luxury goods and kind of heighten that experience. And yeah. then that led me to, there's a series there that are safety cones as vases.
Right.
And then there's a series of cinder blocks as vases. And both are, and maybe your aunt said vases or maybe you had an aunt and she said vases. Who knows? But point being... thinking of those things that we see as random objects and then trying to elevate them. My aunt says vases.
Yes, I appreciate that. Well, I love the collaborative aspect. I was talking to Michael Stout and Lindsay Jones earlier about their collaboration, and I just love a good connection point.
I'm going.
Oh, yeah. To their show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope I can make it. Also,
yeah,
collaboration. It's all about collaborating right now.
Well,
I mean, and well, yeah,
the world needs more collaborators,
and we just need more equality of everything. So I think it's just ways to invite people in and feature people. So when you have opportunities, bring people along.
You're good at surrounding yourself, Brad, with these people. And one more time, let's go through Sam. How can people find more of your work, learn more about you and what you do?
Oh, they can come and visit me at the Harvey Preston Gallery in Aspen, or send me a text or an email at info@harveypreston.com.
Excellent.
Incredible gallery.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. Check it out. Thank you.
Savannah, how about you?
You can reach me on Instagram at Savannah LeBove or my website, SavannahLeBove.com.
Will you spell your last name?
L-A-B as in boy, A-U-V as in Victor E. Wow. Yeah. And Savannah has no H.
And what's your company called?
Nice. Slab Studios.
And where are you showing up and down the valley?
That might be too long of a list to share.
How about two locations? Fire. How about two locations?
Well, stay tuned. I'm having a show at the Art Base this summer. That's probably the biggest
and most solo show.
Yes, no big exciting. Deal. And right before that, I have a show with my gallery in South Denver at Seesaw Gallery. And going to be doing Mountain Fair again.
And she's represented by Harvey Preston. And she has work at Anderson Ranch's gift shop. Yes. And she has work in the Art Base gift shop.
Yes. Oh, dang.
Good thing somebody's paying attention.
Would you like to be my agent?
Yeah.
I can hardly be my agent.
Well, but that's the thing.
We're better. I know.
It's so hard to do it for yourself.
It's easier to represent others. I totally agree. By the way, Brian Colley is an amazing artist.
Mm-hmm. I thought Brad was my agent back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I used to be your agent.
Really took advantage of that.
Awesome. I know. It was a one-year offer.
Claire.
Yeah, Claire.
I'm Claire. Cosecha Textiles. It is a Spanish word. I did not pass the radio test when I chose my business name many moons ago. But anyway.
Spell Cosecha.
Cosecha. Cosecha Textiles with an S at the end .com is my website. Cosecha de Claire on Instagram. And
And my company is called Board by Design, and we're a fabrication and furniture design company up and down this valley for years and nationally and sometimes internationally. And I have a lovely team of humans that work for me and make me better. And then Rancher Blades is Jordan's company. So
oh, good.
That is what his company is called. So,
nice. Well, thank you so much for keeping it real here on KD&K.
Thanks,
I'm
going
to have to turn it over to NPR here.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, KD&K.
Love you guys. Thanks for tuning in to KD&K. See you next time.
Woo!